Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Has anyone here not ever stumbled over something and fallen? At some point, we probably all have stumbled over something and fallen. Whether we were very young and first learning to walk, very old and losing our ability to walk, or at some point in between, when we were in the prime of our lives and maybe just not paying enough attention. I remember the last time I fell while running. It was years ago, down in Austin. I stumbled as my toes caught the edge of a section of sidewalk. And the next thing I knew, I fell. Legs, arms, and face down. The weather was cool, so my long pants and long sleeves largely spared me any abrasions. In this morning's gospel reading from St. Matthew's divinely inspired account, we uniquely hear Jesus say that Peter is a potential source of stumbling to Jesus. The English Standard Version I read translated the Greek word scandalon with hindrance, but the sense is more of a stumbling block, a stumbling stone, or a trap. In fact, Jesus' first passion prediction was arguably a source of stumbling to Peter. And so Jesus used the occasion to teach about discipleship. Yet the first passion prediction and the teaching about discipleship are not separate, but are largely closely related. And this morning we consider the gospel reading as a whole under the theme, the necessity of the cross. In today's gospel reading, Peter is fresh off of his confession of his divinely revealed understanding of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Peter comes close to stumbling and falling permanently when Jesus begins a new stage of revelation regarding the Christ's work of redemption. When Jesus began to show his disciples that suffering, dying, and rising were necessary, Peter, whom with the other disciples Jesus had rebuked to tell no one that he was the Christ, himself began to rebuke Jesus. Peter all but invoked God's name, commanding that such things should never happen to Jesus. Unexpectedly and severely, Jesus, as he had done with the devil himself during his earlier temptation in the wilderness, called Peter Satan and ordered Peter away. And having earlier called Peter a rock, Jesus now called Peter a potential stumbling stone. Jesus explained that Peter was not setting his mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. Admittedly, St. Matthew does not say precisely on what things of men Peter was setting his mind. Maybe in this case, the best construction that we can put on Peter is that he really cared about Jesus and so did not want him to die, but wanted to save his life, even though Jesus had said that on the third day he would be raised. Peter almost seems to have heard the part about Jesus as being killed and then stopped listening. Regardless, God's plan for Jesus to go the way of the cross to glory did not meet with Peter's approval. Peter probably had his own ideas about a glorious kingdom for Jesus. To Peter, Jesus' cross was offensive, a potential source of stumbling. And so Peter himself became an offense, a potential source of stumbling to Jesus. Even though Peter had understood who Jesus was, Peter set himself in opposition to God and to God's will, and so became an instrument of Satan, trying to keep Jesus from the necessity of the cross. A cross was later specified by Jesus as the instrument of his death. Jesus' cross was necessary for us and for our salvation. Our salvation from both sin and from the eternal death we deserve on account of our sin. Other prophets of the Lord before Jesus had in some sense suffered, as we heard described in today's Old Testament reading. But the entirety of St. Matthew's account makes clear that Jesus' bearing our sins and suffering at the hands of the Jewish leaders is unique. Such suffering, death, and resurrection on the third day are all the gracious will of God the Father for his Son Jesus' mission to save us. The broader context of St. Matthew's account helps us understand that in Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection, the Son of Man comes in his kingdom. Jesus himself wills that he suffer, die, and rise, for he knows, as he in the gospel reading tries to teach the disciples, that without his suffering, death, and resurrection, he could not save them, and they cannot save themselves. Even Jesus is saving his own life by avoiding the necessity of the cross would have meant his being lost eternally, if that were even possible. In the gospel reading, Jesus says that those who would come after him must deny themselves, take up their crosses, and follow him. Follow him as the Christ whose way to glory is the way of the cross. For us to try to save our lives in some other way is to lose our lives, Jesus says. Even if we would gain the whole world, we cannot give enough to save our souls, as a psalmist had said long before Jesus. When we are honest with ourselves, how much do we really deny ourselves? Do we maybe try to hang on to some sinful habit or desire? When we are honest with ourselves, how much do we take up our crosses? Do we not more often try to avoid suffering on account of Jesus? When we are honest with ourselves, how much do we follow Jesus, whose way to glory is the way of the cross? Do we not, like Peter, have our own ideas about a glorious kingdom? When we are honest with ourselves, we admit that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that even after divine revelation about Jesus' identity, that sinful nature still clings to us and leads us into countless and unspeakable sins. Jesus is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father and repay everyone according to what they have done. Before then, if we do not turn in sorrow from our sins, trust God the Father to forgive our sins for Jesus' sake, and do the Holy Spirit produce good works as evidence of our faith, then we too will be ordered away from Jesus and into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So we turn from our sin, and with the Holy Spirit given faith, we receive God's forgiveness for our sin in the ways that are in some sense necessary for us to receive that forgiveness. Jesus says, unless at the baptismal font that we are born from above of water and the Spirit, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. For that is where we are connected with Jesus' death and resurrection. And Jesus says, unless at this rail we eat his flesh and drink his blood, in with and under bread and wine, we have no life in us. For there is where we receive the benefits of Jesus' death and resurrection. Baptism and communion, along with preaching and individual absolution, are the ways that God forgives us and brings forth from us good works, such as those described in today's epistle reading, and our own good works of bearing our own crosses. Jesus' cross was a potential source of stumbling for Peter, just as Peter was a potential source of stumbling for Jesus. But neither stumbled and fell permanently. Peter himself later died, as tradition has it, on an inverted cross, and Peter will be raised again. Jesus' cross was necessary for him to save us. And our crosses are necessary for us to follow him. Yet more than simply an example for us to follow, Jesus makes our bearing our crosses possible. And when we fail to deny ourselves, take up our crosses and follow him, or when we fail in any other way to keep his commandments, we repent, and he graciously forgives us. Sort of like our getting back up after we, regardless of our age, stumble and fall. The cross is not the end or goal, but the cross is the means to the glorious end or goal of eternal life in God's kingdom. God grant us that kingdom for Jesus' sake. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.